You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 204 of Well Met, the Hearthstone podcast, brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, July 1st of 2019, and here in Kansas City with what I am hoping is a working computer tonight, because that's why we didn't do the show last week. I'm your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by our normal crew over in New Hampshire, sniffling there. You hear Ray C, and also with them is good old Danny Donuts.
Did you say you could hear me sniffling?
I heard someone sniffling.
No, I'm the one who's sniffling. I'm the one sniffling. I'm honestly a little bit under the weather.
I always assume it's Ray.
I mean, that's a fair assumption, to be honest. But, like, I just had a Claritin and, like, some type of nose spray, so I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm breaking out the humidifier tonight.
Oh, dude, I watched this video on Twitter of, like, a tree falling, and then, like, the pollen that came off the tree was, like, almost like a yellow, like, mist.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I have just allergies. Watching that, like, I feel like my eyes got puffy.
You guys get it pretty bad out there with the pollen?
It's pretty bad. And then, like, you also have stuff like ticks and all that good stuff that you got to watch out for over the summer. And
yeah, you want to know how I found out that I had allergies? It was Christmas Day. I was sitting in front of my Christmas tree and I was crying. And my parents were like, Daniel, is everything okay? And they were like, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. It's just my eyes hurt. And they realized I was allergic to my Christmas tree.
That's kind of funny.
Pretty funny.
Like, it's sad, but like also pretty funny. Mm.
That is. I've had a fake Christmas tree ever since. And my dad's like, you know, this is the best thing ever. Because he's like, I just have to assemble it once a year. I don't have to go pick it out.
I think my family just kind of like got really lazy. Because we used to have a real Christmas tree every year. And then at some point, my mom was just like, no, I'm not gonna. Like, nobody actually cares that much. Let's just get a plastic. Actually, she gets a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And then she watches Charlie Brown like 20 times.
I've never had a real Christmas tree. Growing up, we always had an artificial one. And even now, that's all I buy because, you know what? I don't want to put a real tree in my house. Kind of weird, in my opinion.
But what about like office plants and stuff? Those are plants.
Yeah, but it's not a tree.
It's a mini tree. A plant is a mini tree
that I kill and then put in my house like a trophy.
It's better than a boar.
Do you think trees have feelings, JR?
I don't know, man. No.
Do you think plants have feelings?
Wrong answer.
I don't know. You know what I know is I have a New Hampshire fact for you guys. That's what I know.
Tell us a New Hampshire fact.
And if you ever wanted to know what happened to Ray and Danny as kids, just remember that New Hampshire is the only state where seatbelts are not mandatory.
That is true.
I definitely know that because I rarely wear my seatbelt. And whenever I go somewhere else and I get in an Uber, they're like, you have to wear your seatbelt. And I'm like, what? What's a seatbelt?
Yep.
That's why I'm going to die when I'm young. I'm just going to get in a car.
Not any of the other reasons, just the seatbelt.
Actually, no, that'd be too ironic. I can't do that. Like, that would just be kind of sad. Like, yeah. If you die from a seatbelt accident and not an actual.
I mean, it would be sad if you die in general. Doesn't matter what it has to be.
I mean, I guess that's true. That's pretty true. You have a point there. All right. You got a good point.
I know that we did a lot of stuff in Hearthstone this week, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and we should probably hop over into that.
Let's do it.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, so last week we weren't able to record. We started to. We got like, what, 20 minutes into the show, and then my computer like crashed on me. I've been having problems with like my Wi-Fi going out, my computer crashing, all this other stuff. I thought I had it fixed this weekend. It crashed on me again yesterday, so I'm hoping we can get through this show okay. So, with that said,
so far so good.
That said, because we weren't able to record last week, there's a bit of big news that we weren't able to talk about. And the patch for that just released today. And they talked a lot about class identity in a blog post. And then with it, they sent some cards to the Hall of Fame. They added some new cards to the classic set. And they kind of gave everybody kind of a transparent view of what Blizzard feels class identity is for each class in Hearthstone. And I thought it was pretty cool. It's something they haven't really done before. As far as Hall of Fame and like the middle of the year, that they always kind of reserve that for the beginning of a new year of Hearthstone. So what do you guys want to talk about first on this?
Well, I mean, I think that the paradigm shift of just changing cards and putting them in the Hall of Fame now showcases the shift in the dynamic that the team has. It seems like everything is now a little bit quicker. It seems like they've gotten their schedule down and they're really starting to add a little bit more into the game. They're really starting to cater to the more experienced player. I think that that is definitely something big here. And defending their claims by telling us what they think about all these classes, what no matter what their responses are, I think is a sign of goodwill, essentially coming out and saying, hey, like, here's where we're at with the game. We're okay shifting cards over to the Hall of Fame. We're okay doing it off cycle now. We're okay with doing a lot of things. And I think that now that they have these resources and the recent buffs, I think that really show that they're at least pointed in the right direction going forward.
Yeah, it's like they're shaking up the game a lot more often than what they used to. Because it would be like you wouldn't hear from them for 3 months.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing from them, it feels like, every couple weeks.
Honestly, it's really something I never thought would happen, because it's so weird to like constantly get these updates and balance changes overall. It's pretty crazy. It's just something I never expected that we would actually get to see, and I'm really enjoying the fact that they're just changing up the game so much, especially when they recognize that there's like some type of issue, even if they don't necessarily get the changes right. Like, I know a lot of people were complaining, like, oh, you get rid of Vanish, but you don't get rid of Van Cleef because it's a legendary, or blah 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 blah, whatever whatever whatever. It's like, at least they're doing something. Like, these changes will shake up the metagame. Like, taking away Vanish takes away Pogo Hopper, and it definitely makes Rogue weaker. And taking away Mind Blast, I mean, that one kind of, like, threw me off a little bit, because Priest is already just terrible, and that might have been, like, one of the only viable things that they could do. So,
yeah, but at the same time, Mind Blast is a super powerful card that had a lot of combo potential behind it.
I mean, I think this nerf is kind of like what they did with Hex, right? Where it was completely out of left field and no one was expecting it. I think this is the proactive nerf saying, hey, we're about to release some really cool stuff, but we just realized that if we release it, Mind Blast is going to be it's going to be limiting on our design space just generally going forward. So hopefully good stuff comes out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is, like you said, it's a nod to whatever it is that we're going to see in the future.
Right.
So I don't know what it is, but I'm excited to find out.
So let's talk.
I'm curious about this real quick. I was just curious to get you guys' opinion on if you think this change is necessarily because the team has now hit their stride and then they're willing to try new things, or do you think it's because they have to try new things? They've gotten to the point where they're like, okay, we've had a lot of things that haven't worked. We have to try new things at this point.
I think it's a little of both. Keep in mind, like, Blizzard fired off a lot of people at the beginning of the year. However, they said one of the games that they were going to focus on development on was Hearthstone. And Hearthstone's been getting a lot of new faces on its team in the last year, really. They just picked up someone else recently from one of the teams who used to work on Diablo and then into World of Warcraft, and now he's on the Hearthstone team. John Yang, I believe that's his name, just moved over there. So I also saw they're hiring a new community manager as well, which is funny because they just fired off all of their community managers like 4 months ago, and now they're like, oh, hey, we need a community manager who can manage Fireside Gatherings and things. I'm like, I know the dude that you fired that used to do all that. Thanks. I'm sure he appreciates it. But besides the fact, they are ramping up that team. And I think that they, I think despite the fact that people are like, oh, Hearthstone is going downhill, things like that, the game is still very profitable. And one of the ways that you kind of keep that going is to keep it fresh. And I think they've realized, hey, we need to do a better job at keeping this game fresh.
Yeah, I'm happy that they're making the changes. The community manager thing, I mean, that's like, that's just like one of those things where it's just like, maybe you should have thought about that a little bit more. But, you know, as far as the game goes, it's in a really good spot right now. And if they keep making changes, keep changing it up, it's just going to get better. But it's kind of weird, like, how fast the game is getting stale to people. Like, there's so much Hearthstone content to consume, especially with Grandmasters. It's just everything feels like it's getting figured out so quickly, and just everything feels like it's just getting old faster for some reason.
Do you think that's a cycle time? 3 months is too long?
No, not for sets. I think it's just a lack of a lot of cards being unplayable, or the fact that a lot of decks feel the same because they have the same core. Like, mech decks all feel the same to me. Like, playing Mech Paladin and playing Mech Hunter are basically the same thing. And, like, from my point of view, like, you just play mechs, you magnetize them, and then you hope they don't have silence or a way to clear your big mech. And then they have it, you lose. If they don't have it, you win. It's like, it's just so straightforward and boring to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what I struggle with. I think one of the things I struggle with a little bit with the game is they don't give you a whole lot. Like, even though they're like, they're speeding up all of this, they don't give you too much of an incentive to play the game right now. So while they're doing all this cool stuff, I think they also need to start focusing on things that would incentivize people to play. Like, you know, they made ladder not matter at all anymore. So I find it difficult to hop on and play like on the ladder at all. I'll play every once in a while. Once I got done with the single player content, I didn't care to open that up again. I hop on and play a little bit every once in a while. Then when the new set comes out, I'll play for 2 or 3 weeks. Things will get figured out, and then I'll be on that, you know, not really caring anymore, because there's nothing that says I need to log in and play this game.
Yeah, that's the same problem that I'm having too. It's just like finding a reason to actually log on and play Hearthstone is becoming increasingly difficult, especially when there's so much competition at the current moment for your time. Yep. Like, pretty much any of the other, like, auto chess games, Magic, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
And all those games have incentives to play their game right now, besides Hearthstone. Like, unless you're playing in the tournament qualifiers, which isn't even ladder or remotely close to ladder, even though Specialist, quote unquote, is like ladder, it's not actually, but yeah, it's just like no reason to play ladder. There's no reason to log on every day. Unless you want to dedicate 15 hours to an open cup, there's absolutely zero reason to play Hearthstone, and that's really depressing for somebody who is used to just playing so much. But the way that I think too is also kind of a downside. Like, in my head, I'm just like, this makes no logical sense to do.
Right.
It's like, I don't enjoy it enough to the point where it's just like, I want to spend my, like, I have to progress my quote unquote career, right? Like, I have to do other things. If Hearthstone is like, if there's just no incentive to play Hearthstone, I have to find something else to do. Otherwise, there's just no point in being in esports at all. Like, a lot of people are becoming aware of this realization. Like, Teebs just made a huge post about how she is pretty much between a rock and a hard place and doesn't have any way to support herself anymore now that there's no more consistent Hearthstone tournaments like DreamHacks or any reason for teams to want to pick her up. Like, she had a deal with a team that fell through just because they're just like, nah, not anymore. Like, there's no reason to pick up a Hearthstone player now. So everybody's just kind of getting wrecked. I'm very fortunate to be on Panda Global, where they're just, like, not concerned with that at all. I'm just kind of
there. They're invested with you as a person, right? That's what the true team is.
Yeah, but that doesn't really exist out anywhere else, I guess. Like, it's not really a thing. outside of PG right now for whatever reason. Unless you're a big streamer, it's just like, get wrecked. I don't know. There's no good way to put it. It's just like, if you're not in Grandmasters, you're not a streamer. Like, why are you playing Hearthstone? And that just sounds so bad, right? Like, that sounds, it just sounds bad. But it's just the way it is right now, and it sucks.
Yeah. But speaking of the cards that we were talking about, Vanish and Mind Blast kind of going away, they did replace them with two cards. You have the 4-mana 3/3 Plague Bringer, which the rogue card says Battlecry, give a friendly minion poisonous. And then the priest card is the 1-mana Radiance of restore 5 health to your hero. Both of them obviously nowhere near as powerful as the cards that they're replacing. But Plague Bringer is kind of interesting in the fact that it's got the potential for that single target removal, which they kind of said is kind of rogue's identity. And Radiance with the healing your hero. And I think the biggest complaint on that card is there's better versions of it in other sets. Yeah, but the flip side, this stays in the classic set forever. You probably don't want that better version living forever either.
True. I'm actually very excited about Radiance. I haven't played Hearthstone today, but I'm going to be building a deck later today that uses Radiance, surprisingly enough. One of the things about Priest and Wild is that it's very, very close to having an incredibly good Reno cycle deck, and I've tried to build that many a time, and a lot of times you just don't have enough copies of cheap spells. And if you're doing a Gadgets and Cycle Reno deck and you're running Spawn of Shadows, a lot of time your win condition is have more HP than your opponent at the end. And obviously you're running the better versions of the card, but this adds a critical mass. So now you have three versions of the same card rather than just two. So I actually really like Radiance for that aspect, at least from a Wild perspective. That's probably the only application you'll see in Wild, but sometimes you have to look at cards from a different perspective. And like, if you just look at this, you're like, oh, there's so many better cards you could be running. But when you put a deck limitation on, sometimes cards will see play.
All right. That and with Aconite, I'm sure with Aconite Soul Priest, they're just like, we're not going to keep this around forever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm not really too excited about any of the cards except for the legendary. Not even the cute one, ironically. Brightwing is a 3-mana 3/2 battle cry, add a random legendary minion to your hand. It's a dragon, but it looks like a cute Murloc. It's pretty irrelevant in Standard right now since there's no legendaries. But the other card, High Inquisitor White Mane, is a 7-mana 6/8 battle cry, summon all friendly minions that died this turn. So that card could be pretty fun. I don't really know how quite yet, but
I mean, it's like Kel'Thuzad. Just
it's
powerful.
A mana cheaper. It's a mana cheaper though. That's something you can. I don't know. You can evolve into it, but that doesn't help you. So
it's like a Kel'Thuzad, just
a mini Kel'Thuzad,
just a little weaker.
There we go. We got the mini Kel'Thuzad, and these are all live right now, correct?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So we can start experimenting with them. I'm pretty excited to play some Bomb Warrior to get a quick legend with all the idiots trying to play new and fun things.
I can tell you about the High Inquisitor that this is going to be the most infuriating card out of all of these cards, and exclusively for the reason that this fits into bad Big Priest. There are a couple select cards that go into bad Big Priest: Emperor Thorison, Kel'Thuzad, and this is definitely going to find its way into bad Big Priest. There will be people who play this, and just because your matchup is unfavored against Big Priest, you're going to lose, and they're going to play this card, and you're going to slap yourself in the head and be like, oh my god.
That
will happen. There was a guy who literally played Dirty Rat in his Big Priest. I have the clip. It blew my fucking mind. It was on stream.
I was a little late on that.
Oh, sorry about that. Oh my goodness.
It's understandable. In this situation, I mean,
pulls the Mechathune with the Dirty Rat.
It blew your flipping mind.
Yes.
The only other card out of all of these, like a bunch of these, are just like They seem like arena cards for the most part.
The secret. There's a neutral secret.
This was destroyer. The card I said, the only other card, and that was the card I was going into here. SI7 Infiltrator, which is the neutral rare 4-mana 5/4 Battlecry Destroyer, a random enemy secret. So I think this one's pretty cool because they've done like destroying secrets in like other sets, but they didn't have anything like this in the classic set. And I find it cool that it's now in the classic set so that they don't have to keep printing this card in other sets, basically. Mm. So it's like, you know how you have like Harrison Jones and the acidic Swampoos for weapon removal? This is the weapon removal card except for secrets.
So now you can now you have a direct counter for secrets in every single set. So if you ever run into a meta that's super secret heavy, you can just run this card. And it's not a bad body, right? 4-mana 5/4, that's pretty good.
Yep. So it's just one of those things that I thought was pretty cool that they didn't have to worry about. I mean, they might still print cards that destroy secrets, but they don't have to feel like they do just to counter the meta.
And it'll get the Gluttonous Ooze treatment if they do print one, right? Where, like, it'll have an additional effect as well. So I do like that, where it's like, hey, we could print an extra secret card that does something, but has an upside or a downside or whatever, but you can make it a little bit more complicated.
Right. Was there anything you guys wanted to talk about on the, like, the class breakdown that they had, the class identity? I feel like people listening to the show would have read through this already.
I mean, I just thought it was pretty funny. Like, I thought it was kind of a joke, honestly. Just like everything they said was just wrong. Like, I mean, it's been a week now.
They haven't
all the memes.
They haven't followed a lot of these things. And I mean, this might be what they want to do going forward, but I mean, there are a lot of cards that break this. So this reminds me a lot in Magic how like Magic has like archetypes, and like blue is the only class that normally has counterspell, except for when it was released in one or two expansions for every other class, right? So I think that that has happened in Hearthstone. For example, Druid, this is just a quick example. Druid lacks board clears, but they release Poison Seeds and Spreading Plague. So like those two cards are able to go through and they break the mold of Druid. And I think that that's what the flavor of each expansion should be, right? Where they stick to these basic core strengths and limitations for a class. But when you want to have a class be a little bit stronger, all of a sudden you go in and you give it something that really messes a little. It pushes a little bit against that identity. But I think this is more or less going forward what they're trying to do. And if they deviate from it, I think that, I mean, this is probably, they probably whiteboard a lot of this stuff and they're like, okay, well, Shaman has these strengths and weaknesses, even though they don't really have anything for Shaman. Shaman's kind of on its own. But so they'll deviate from it intentionally. I think that's the way that I would approach it.
I know a lot of people crapped on this and for the reasons that you guys are stating, but nowhere in this class breakdown or class identity have I seen Warrior only gets this and never gets this.
Warrior gets everything.
Or Druid always gets this, and this is where it's really strong, but they never get this. Like, they never get board clears. That's not what this says. This says this says what they are strong in and what they are weak in. Just because they might have a card that does board clears or a couple cards that do doesn't mean that that's the class. Doesn't mean that they can't go there.
Yeah, well, you also have the juxtaposition, though. Yeah, you do have the juxtaposition when you have cards that are in the classic set that go against that, right?
Like,
there are certain cards. No, I do, because, I mean, a lot of cards in the classic set have essentially become icons of that class. Something like Edwin Van Cleef, where that card will be seen in every single, not every single rogue deck, but most rogue decks of every expansion. So people identify Edwin alongside that, right? Whereas what is the thing that Rogue has? What do they say about
Poison.
Rogue? Yeah, like, so it doesn't feel like it necessarily matches with their strengths and weaknesses.
Nah, I don't.
But
they just made that up on the fly, dude. There's
but you know what I mean. Like, there are certain core cards in the classic set that might not necessarily go along these limitations. If we're approaching this from this is how we want to approach the game going forward, I think that's good. I think that
I don't agree that it has to feel like You know, it has to feel like Druid only gets mana generation, giant minions, minion swarms, card drawn beasts, and they never get destroying big minions in board clear. Just because that's what they have as their strengths and weaknesses. I think it's the majority of their cards are going to have mana generation, giant minions, minion swarms, card drawn beasts, and they'll probably have still some destroying big minions in board clear, but it will be a lot more rare.
Yeah, but I think that because of that, right, because these things are so rare in those classes, when they're able to utilize it, it's very strong.
I don't know.
I think that that might cause it to be where it's like, hey, the weakness of this class is to do one thing, but when you can cover that weakness, that card is strong.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing people might get confused about.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I agree as well.
I don't know. I'm afraid that if they, like, use that as, like, a Bible, so to speak, like, there is going to be a lot of polarization between classes being able to beat other classes while also being weak to other classes. Like, if one class says it lacks strong board clear, like wide AoE, then that's naturally going to be weak to something that can generate a lot of tokens, like a, I guess, Druid or Paladin.
I mean, doesn't that happen, though? I mean, maybe this is just because I play a lot of Wild, and class identities in Wild are very attuned to their entire set. So, like, Rogue, no matter what Rogue you have, like, unless you're playing a super control rogue, you're going to lose to Paladin, like, 80% of the time. Like, I find that that statement right there is just characteristic of the game, right? Where Paladin is just naturally, because of their hero power, going to beat Rogue. Just no matter, if you were just playing a game, you have no cards, and you're literally just hitting your hero power button, the Paladin beats the Rogue.
I guess. I don't know. It felt like before, like, you have Vanish, Fan and Knife, stuff like that, and then in, like, Druid, you had Naturalize, and now, if you go wide again, or if you go tall against Druid, like, how does Druid answer Mountain Giant anymore? They just lose.
That BGH, like, they were holding.
I mean, they're gonna be, like, it won't matter. Like, Mage is gonna play Mountain Giant on 3 or 4, and then just immediately Conjurer's Calling, and then that one BGH won't matter. It just feels like, if you follow that too strictly, classes will become too weak to certain things, to the point where it's just going to be way too polarizing in terms of, like, what matchups you're going to get on ladder.
Yeah, I agree.
Or in tournaments, even. Like, if you get Mage as a Druid, I mean, I guess, like, Druid's irrelevant right now, but, like, in the future, if Druid becomes relevant, and then, like, just losing to card Mountain Giant, it just feels so bad when you just lose to, like, something that's so common.
Yep. But I think Danny was onto something, whereas if you have a card that is considered a weakness of a class, that card ends up being pretty strong for that class. And like I said, I feel like that's okay, because, like, let's look at Mage, for example. One of their weaknesses is healing. And one of the best cards that we had in Mage recently that's now rotated out is the Mage Death Knight Jaina, where she had mass healing, basically. And while this isn't a card that, this is a side effect of the card, Taunt. You get the 7/8 taunt when you Conjurer's Calling the your Mountain Giant. So you get those big taunt guys. And I mean, granted, that's a little bit even bigger just because you get, like, double big dudes, but and you get them out early. But I think it goes to show that, yeah, you may not see a bunch of cards with this, but you're probably going to have one or two powerful cards for that class that is going to stick out because they're able to mitigate their weakness a little bit.
Yeah,
I think this really falls into Blizzard's way of balancing classes, where they'll make one class very strong, and then the carousel goes around, and then the next class becomes super strong by printing a broken card, right? That's a lot of what happens in this game. It's a call and response, really, where one class gets something really strong, and then the next class gets something that boosts it up a little bit. And I think that's how you really... That's how they get all the classes into play, where you release something that's really strong that's for another class, and then you just give it something that pushes that boundary a little bit.
Yep. So you guys want to talk about the next big news? No, you had something else on here, right? The card art and spell interaction patch.
Oh, yeah. So, this came in. There are a couple of card art changes. I think that Succubus is now changed to Fellstalker. Mistress of Pain is Queen of Pain. Windfury Harpy, Secret Keeper, Eviscerate, Bite, Head Crack, and Deadly Shot all have different artwork. That's not the main thing about this, though, that's interesting. There are some consistency updates. And the main one is probably the multi-target cards. And this is something that happens a lot in Wild when you generate random cards. You'll have cards that are not available. So something like multi-shot, right? You used to not be able to cast multi-shot unless you had two minions on the board. But now if you have a multi-target card, you're going to be able to play it even if there's one or less minions on the board. So that's a bit of a change. And they said they changed this more or less because of random effects such as Yogg-Saron. Hmm. I think that leads a little bit into some stuff that's going to be coming up.
Yep, more than likely. So there was some big news today. And, yeah, there's a pretty big news today. So we should probably talk about that big news.
Than they've ever been. As evil descends from the skies, the world cries out, how will we survive? Out of the hall of explorers and up from the dusty tomb, they grab their whips and fedoras. These legends of the past know exactly what to do.
So, a big announcement today, League of Explorers 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, you stole that. Come on. I was going to say that. No way.
I mean, that's what that was, right?
Yeah.
League of Explorers 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I mean, I'm pretty excited for League of War.
Just call it talk. Just call it Lee to Eeb.
What? I don't understand this joke. Am I
Lee to Eeb?
Lead to
League of Explorers.
L-O-E-2-E-B. Yeah. League of Explorers 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I'm smelling what you're stepping in. I feel you, dog. Okay.
But the real name of the expansion, as you heard during the epic 80s Saturday morning cartoon song, was the Saviors of Uldum. And it's bringing back our favorites. It's bringing back Reno, bringing back Sir Finley Murgleton, bringing back Elise for the third time, and it's bringing back Bran, but no one cares about Bran.
Oh, Bran's riding a dinosaur. What are you talking about?
I care about Bran.
I just care about Reno and Sir Finley Murgleton.
Yeah, I'm excited that Reno's back. Real quick question. So, Uldum, is that Uldum. Like Uldum? So, Keeper of Uldumon, is that like, is he from this place?
I believe so.
He's a keeper of Uldum. He's a man from Uldum who's a keeper.
I believe so.
Keeper of Uldum man.
Sure.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that one.
It's been a long time since I played WoW, and I don't 100% remember everything that was in there. But that sounds right. I'm sure we have listeners that will tell me that we are incorrect, though.
I mean, it sounds right.
I think it sounds right.
Sure. I'd buy it.
But the big news about that set is I believe it launches August 6th.
Yep.
135 cards. We got what? A handful of cards that were revealed?
Yeah, I think we got six or so.
Right.
No, we got more than six. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8 cards revealed.
That's surprising. Normally they don't show as many. Normally they keep it around 4 to 6. So
we got a new keyword, Reborn. Which works like a kind of a more narrow version of Death Rattle, where they come back once before they die for real. So, yep. But with one health remaining. So it's kind of like the Paladin secret, kind of similar to that.
Yeah. Redemption.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name. That one. Quests are back.
Woo!
That's a pretty big deal.
Or goat on adventures.
Yogg-Saron is back in a way.
Yeah, it seems like every class gets a powerful they get like a artifact spell. It seems like everyone's gonna get an artifact spell that's associated with their class.
Yeah.
A plague. I think they called it plague, right?
No, so the plagues are something different. That is something else that they're adding.
Yeah,
the plague is plagues. For the League of the Evil Villainous League or whatever. Evil, whatever. Each one of them gets some massive board affecting spell. So, and it does all to every single minion.
Right. So you've got the five League of Evil classes, which, what were those? It was, Warlock, Priest, help me out.
Shaman.
Yeah.
Warlock.
Rogue.
And, what was the fifth one?
There are only four heroes. Hold on. So
five.
Was there five? Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there's five. A warrior. Warrior was.
Oh yeah,
one.
Boom.
So that tells me that the other four classes will be representing Reno, Elise, Bran, and Murgleton. So you'll have was that Paladin, Hunter, Mage, and Druid.
And the Druid, and we already know who has the Druid.
Yeah. That would be Elise. I believe Reno probably gets a mage. That would be cool.
Yeah. I don't know. He's riding a dinosaur, though. That makes me Bran's riding a dinosaur. So
makes me think he's Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter. That's what I was gonna say. He might be Hunter.
Yeah.
And Sir Finley might be a paladin, and then Reno's the mage.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, Reno got like a Gatling gun of crystals or something.
Yeah. So, that's magical.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's magical, right? I think so. I think that's how magic works. I'm not an expert, but
yeah, I'm not an expert in mage.
Oh, I meant magic. But I'm an expert in mage.
But I believe we called this though. When the first set came out, that it seemed like they were pointing towards the League of Explorers being the next set, and that they'd be the good guys taking on the bad guys.
Yeah, the teaser was really good too. When they had this is when our off season when we were off last week when. King Kobold Togwaggle goes and he decides to infiltrate a shop, and the shop is the one where all of the fortune tellers' cards are, and he lifts up the card and you hear the League of Explorers theme, and then he puts it down, and then he lifts the card up again, and then he puts it down, and he lifts it up again, and there's blasts all over the place.
Yeah, they made that pretty obvious.
I think they're doing a very good job with these cinematics, and props to the team for that. They're doing a very, very good job with it.
I'm just excited that the League of Explorers is back. I can't talk. We recently did that sticker without even really knowing. I mean, we had a hunch, but without even really knowing that the League of Explorers would be back in this set, and for our patrons that got it, it's a sticker of Danny, myself, and Ray, kind of, you know, dressed up like Reno, Murgleton, Bran, and then we've got the Blizz Pro Yeti as Elise. So it's a nice little sticker like of that, and
it's almost like we planned it the whole time. We definitely didn't get it commissioned like a bajillion months ago.
Right.
Oh, we're prophets. We saw this coming, right?
Gonna get an updated one though, for sure.
I just said that, right? Like we did it on purpose. It was all planned.
But the patrons that sent in for that, you guys will be getting that probably at the end of July. I've already put in the order. Just takes a little bit to make them. So, So let's talk about a little bit about some of these cards. The first thing I wanted to talk about was Reborn. And like I said earlier, it's kind of like a more narrow version of Death Rattle. First time a minion dies, it's reborn with one health. And the card that they revealed was a warrior card called Restless Mummy. And it's a 4-mana 3/2 that has Rush and Reborn. So you can play it and kill a couple 3-health creatures or 1 6-health creature for 4-mana.
It's a strong card.
It is.
This is pretty good.
Is this better than Militia Commander? Possibly. Well, I mean, like, this can kill a Ziliax where a Militia Commander can't.
It's true.
But I mean, I think that it is very versatile, right? Like, I think that they're both fighting for the same spot in Warrior.
I think that this card's better than Militia Commander, because Militia Commander is a one, like, burst of five damage. Like, theoretically, this has is like a 6-4, if you're going to look at it that way. And maybe the five health is going to let it live a little bit longer as the the commander. But this is, like, able to go through, like, multiple taunts or...
two minions, just, right? Yeah.
Yeah, hit two different minions, and it has six... like, I think being able to deal six damage instead of five is super important. This is also just a stickier minion, right? Like, yeah, it's much harder to deal with. And yeah, I think it makes this is just strictly better.
It makes me think that this Reborn keyword is are probably going to be cards that would be too strong if they were Death Rattles. Where, like... I mean, at least from the Wild perspective, right? Like, if you had a card like this that was, like, rush with a Death Rattle, resummon this minion, that would be a nuts card. But, yeah, like, I think that the synergies with Death Rattles allow them to print some more Death Rattle-related cards later on. And I do think that this is an interesting mechanic in the perspective that it'll come back. But the big thing is, this is going to really start pushing classes that have pings now, right? Because when you kill the front end of one of these minions, all of a sudden, like, they have only one health remaining. So if you have something that's like a 4-4 with Reborn, then all of a sudden you kill it and then you just ping off the other one. So it's not as strong as I initially thought it was, but I think that, like, you're going to see a lot of mage uptick. You're going to see a lot of... I don't know, even Druid just being able to kill these things with their hero power is going to be really neat.
Yeah, I think it depends how many they print. Like, usually with, like, new keywords, I feel like they're really stingy on stuff like this, and for good reason, but I don't know, it makes me sad sometimes. I wish they, like, I think that they'll be stingy with it. I don't think there's going to be too many Reborn cards, to be honest, but this one in particular, I think, is very, very good. A lot of people are like, oh, these are just arena cards. And I'm just like, this is probably just better than Militia Commander. And Town Crier is still in the format for a while, right? Like, this is no joke. All these cards are really good. Do you want to move on to the next one? Like, the Plague, kind of explain?
Yeah. No, I definitely want to talk about the Plague. So as we talked about there's these powerful spells called plagues that the five classes we talked about earlier are going to get the League of Explorer or the League of Evil classes. And these are supposed to be like really big spells that hit all minions on the board. And they revealed the priest one, which is called Plague of Death. And it's 9 mana, silence and destroy all minions. Wow. That's awesome.
That is...
Ooh, priest gets another good board clear. So I think this really is just showcasing how the classic set of priest sucks. So they have no big board clears, but the identity of priest is big board clears. So you're going to be getting a lot of... I think just generally every year you're going to get at least one really good board clear for priest. So, I mean, ultimately that affects Wild in the perspective that, like, we have just so many different board clears. It's crazy.
Right.
Right.
I don't know.
Screw your Kel'Thuzad. Zud.
Yeah. Right?
That's what this card says. About,
yeah.
I think that this card is like a one of at best. I don't know. I don't see control matches going wide on the board. Like, yeah, maybe it'll be nice every once in a while, like against some type of crazy mid-rangey mech deck, which those do exist, to be fair. Like, against something like a mech paladin, this is pretty insane, right? But that's not... those decks aren't really that popular right now. If those kind of decks become much more popular, then this card is going to be a decent one of in Priest. But
yeah.
Priest also really needs to find an archetype that isn't garbage.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of Twisting Nether, where it's like you run one copy of this in a control deck.
Right.
Yeah, it is very similar. I just I think that Warlock has a lot more potential than Priest.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, with the current control shells, I agree.
I mean, looking at this right now, it's not like... I'm not excited for this card and the fact that I think it's going to take Priest to new heights or anything like that. I just think it's a cool card, like, just in general. It's probably one that we may not even see in the meta. We may at some point, who knows, but... I just really like the idea of being able to silence everything and then destroy them and you're like, okay, you don't have anything sticky laying around now. You're not getting your weapon from Tyrion.
Yeah.
I just think that's cool.
Yeah.
This card does bring me one card closer to Jail Priest, where literally every single card is a board clear.
Duh.
Oh, baby. Every single card is a board clear. Oh, God. Yeah, you guys have Psychic Scream and Mass Hysteria and
Light Bomb, Excavated Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really goes into the perspective of this card when I'm evaluating this from a wild perspective. And most of the time, like, Psychic Scream is a better card than this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'd rather be able to play Psychic Scream on 7, because this is a very, very slow card. 9 mana is, you have to be hitting the edge of your curve. And if you've hit 9 already, you probably have won the game as Priest.
That's true.
But I mean, I think for the standard format, right, the format is much slower, so maybe this is something that can fit in and do that. But unless you're running a Reno deck or something and you need exceptional number of board clears, I'm not super sold on this. But maybe there's some synergy that pops up with it that's cool.
I think it's bad right now, but has potential to be good in the future, especially if Priest gets a playable archetype.
Yeah. So moving on.
Mind Burst. Deal 4 damage to your opponents.
Jeez. So moving on, we talked about this as well earlier, where we're getting quest cards coming back, but there's a little bit of a twist on the quest cards this time around. All of the quest cards this time, like, do something where they change when you complete the quest, they do something where they change your hero power. And we had 2 of them revealed. So I would think that you're probably going to get one for each class, because the ones that they revealed, they showed a League of Evil one and then one of the good guys as well. So the League of Evil one was the Warlock one for Rafam, and it's called Supreme Archaeology. And the quest is draw 20 cards, and the reward is the Tome of Origination. And the Tome of Origination is your hero power changes to 2 mana, draw a card, and the card that you draw costs 0.
Hmm. That is, how are you? Like, I don't...
So if you're not playing something that shuffles cards into your deck, essentially, if you complete this quest, you play it turn 1 and you draw through your deck, you will have 6 cards left in your deck when you get this quest done. So you're able to get 3 free draws, including the draws that you would normally take on your turn to get this. So it's, in essence, you have to build around this a little bit by playing something like Plot Twist in order to cycle through your whole deck. And then, because if you get 9 cards, if you have 10 cards in hand and then you Plot Twist, that counts as drawing 9 cards, which,
right.
I don't know, I think that helps you out a lot.
I mean, with Plot Twist, I think that there is potential here. It's just like, it feels so inconsistent.
Yeah, it's what support does the card get? That's ultimately what it is. And the question is, how good is drawing a card late game and setting it to 0, right? As opposed to, I mean, this is something you're not going to run in Zoo, right? You have to be playing a control Warlock.
Or like some type of weird combo-ish thing. Like, there is potential here with that 8 drop. That, like,
oh, Bethrod, yeah.
Like, whenever you draw a card, like, you can get that guy to 0, and then you play that, and then you draw a bunch of cards, and then you just have a bunch of dudes, and I don't know. There's a bunch of crazy, weird wombo-y combo-ies that are definitely going to be a thing, but
in what world does this work where Bomb Warrior is still popular?
I mean, that's definitely going to be a thing still, right? Like, if Bomb Warrior's still in the format. And, I mean, as of right now, Warrior probably got the best card. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that world definitely exists in my brain.
Right.
Somewhere there.
I just look at that and I'm like, huh. So, Bomb Warrior can kill me faster. Cool. Yeah.
That's
what I see here. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to play Plot Twist Warlock, if you want to play Quest Plot Twist Warlock, wait, oh my god, wait, how does that work with double quests and wild? Yo.
So you can't, so that's actually been a thing. If you end up mind visioning a quest in Priest, you cannot play the quest that you've gotten in your hand until your current quest is complete. That's something that's already in the game.
Yep.
So if you play two quests, they both start in your opening hand, but only one of them is able to be played at a time.
Yep.
You're less lame.
You're lame.
Yeah, I thought about that one immediately.
That's pretty lame. I'm not going to lie. I was really excited, and now you've just crushed my hopes and dreams of playing, being a double quest gamer in Wild.
You weren't going to play Wild. Come on.
I wasn't going to play Wild here, right?
But he was going to live viscerally through me when I made that deck.
I was going to think about playing Wild, okay?
Yeah.
That's
taking baby steps, right?
That's not as good as we're going to get on that one.
That's what we call the gateway.
Yeah.
The gateway to Wild.
And speaking of Ray, the next card is the Druid quest card called Untapped Potential.
What are you trying to say, buddy?
I'm
Are you saying I have potential? Because that's really nice of you.
No, I'm just saying words, man. Just saying words. I'm talking about this card.
You have more faith in me than my mom. I'm really happy. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah. Just talking about this card, man.
Okay.
So it's the Druid quest. The image is like really, the image is really tiny, and I'm having a hard time reading it. It's a quest end four turns with any unspent mana, and the reward is the Arisirian tier, which is a passive hero power where you choose one cards have both effects combined. So they're doing that thing again.
Yeah, Fandral's back in standard, boys.
Let's go.
Which makes a lot of sense now why they went through and they made the alternate card arts. So they went through and they updated, you know, when they went through with the Staladris and they updated all the card arts for this? Well, they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to reintroduce Fandral back into the format. So we might as well do it for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense why they did it now.
I mean, this seems like a really easy quest to complete, too.
Yeah, it seems to me that these quests, as opposed to the previous quests, right, these quests are going to be easier to complete, but the rewards are not as good. So ultimately, right, it'll turn into the perspective of, for old, the OG quests, you had to build your entire deck around them. Whereas these quests are somewhere along the lines of, hey, if the meta is right, I can tech a quest into my deck. It's kind of like the Murloc quest for Shaman, even though it's never right to play that quest in Murloc Shaman right now in Wild. There are certain fringe situations where if you're just playing Murloc Shaman and you're playing against a control deck, maybe you consider playing it in there. It's never right now, but there could be a situation where it is. I think that is more or less where these quests are going to lie. They're going to be a little bit lower power level, and you'll have the option to put them in your deck if you want to. If you want to go and play against a specific matchup, they're more of a tech card rather than an auto include, and then you build your entire deck around that. I really like that because a lot of time you're like, oh, I see the quest turn one against my mage opponent. Oh, it's quest mage. They're going to go and OTK me. Like, there's no, like, you're very defined within that quest. Whereas with something like this, you could literally be playing anything except Token Druid with this, and it would be something that you could potentially play. So I really like the approach to this, where the quests are not overpowered things. They're just something that gives you some value over time or something along those lines. So I do like that and like to see how it's going to be abused.
Yeah, I 100% agree with everything you just said. But speaking of quests, they did have a new neutral card, neutral rare called Questing Explorer, and it's a 2-mana 2/3 battle cry. If you control a quest, draw a card.
This card this is a 10 out of 10. This card is a banger.
Yeah, this is the best card they showed so far.
My thought
on this card, I think that this card might be strong enough to make you play the quest in classes that you're not intending on playing the quest in. Like, this might be the card where it's like, oh, well, I could be playing Untapped Potential in Druid. I might not, but because of Questing Explorer existing, you're like, yeah, I'm going to play the quest because I get that free draw.
But what if I don't want the hero power that comes with that quest?
I mean,
I don't want to accidentally pop that off.
Well, then you're not playing Questing Explorer. But if you want if you want to play, like, I think that Questing Explorer is such a good card that you will be playing the quest, even if it's not necessarily your exact win condition to get that.
Yeah. I mean, Questing Explorer is just insane. Just think about Novice Engineer. Right. It's a 1-1 that does the same thing.
Except it's well, like way better. Request,
but yeah. Like, well, it's not way better. This card's way better.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
card is way better. Game. Yeah.
I'm hyped.
Yeah. This card's actually very exciting for me because it has count interplay with the current quests, right? Where like Quest Rogue and Wild, Quest Mage and Wild, like the old quests. It's also going to be annoying for me to distinguish between the new quests and the old quests. I'm going to have to come up with some sort of vernacular for that. But this card's going to go into all the old decks. Like all the old decks immediately have a new card that comes in. You're playing this over Novice Engineer in Quest Rogue now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there are a bunch of classes where just because you're playing a quest, if you're ever playing a quest, this card is the quest is the first card you put in your deck in like the build around ones, and this is the second card and third.
Man, I just realized how broken this would be in Quest Rogue if it was still in standard. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, the worst.
Oh my god, that would be insane.
Yeah, luckily Quest Rogue's not that good right now. Quest Rogue is middle of the pack, if at all. It's probably tier 3.
Ugh.
Good.
Yeah.
Get that out of my game.
Get out of here.
Get out of my game.
Yeah.
You took my stars.
Oh boy. So backing up just a little bit. So we had the new mage spell shown, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. Puzzle Box of Yogg-Saron. It's a 10 mana epic mage spell. Cast 10 random spells, targets chosen randomly. Man, that's all I have to say about that.
I mean, this is what Yogg used to do on average post-nerf.
Sure.
You used to cast around 10 spells, so sure. You could expect a minor board clear, you can expect a couple of minions, and maybe a little bit of card draw.
But you don't get the body.
No,
the you potential don't get the body. I mean, the body before it kills himself.
Most of the time you killed yourself though. So, and then the spells won't stop casting. You guaranteed 10. What I'm most excited though is for when you're playing Yogg in Wild and then Yogg casts the puzzle box.
Oh my god. No.
And then the puzzle box hits another puzzle box.
What?
Oh, could this cast into a puzzle box?
I don't believe so. I think Mike Donay already stomped that one on Twitter. Okay. But that would be cool. But the thing is, like in standard, right? How many mage spells are there right now? I think that it would be fairly likely for you to hit it. If you're casting 10 random mage spells, there's probably a 1 out of 10 chance you hit the puzzle box.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Like that would be like that. This would be a card that would be a must play if that was the case.
I mean, Cyclone Mage is already like one of the best decks in the game, and now it just got like instead of getting Pyroblast, like which is sometimes you just get that and you just win the game randomly, like now you have so many more just like high quality spells instead of just getting these super crappy ones. Like you have more.
Is a Yogg board clear a high quality spell though? A lot of times when you're playing Cyclone Mage, you're playing from ahead. And you're trying to win the game before they clear your board, and then you can't do anything about it, right?
At least
from the Wild perspective. The Wild deck is completely different than the standard deck, but from my perspective, you take the board early, and then you beat them up with a lot of flame waker hits. So essentially, once you lose the board, you've lost the game, essentially. So I feel that the puzzle box doesn't really help you with your game plan, because if you've lost the board, you've lost the game. You're not really able to repopulate it.
I think this card is going to be really good, like as a randomly generated card. Like this is going to see pseudo play. Like it's not going to see play in the sense that like people are going to play.
No one's
going to
put it in their deck.
But people are definitely going to end up playing this card off of random like discover cards or just randomly get this.
It's much better than Glacial Mysteries.
Exactly.
To me, this feels similar to Yogg-Saron in the fact that it's like almost like a get out of jail free card. That's how I always felt Yogg-Saron was if you're down, you have a chance.
You have a Hail Mary.
It back. Yeah, it's like a Hail Mary. I don't know if people are gonna play it the same way that they used to play Yogg though. So I'm not sure if it would fit into that. But who knows?
I mean, I think that Yogg was mostly played in the control druid and maybe even a little bit control mage shell where you're like, okay, I don't really have a way to, I mean, especially in druid where you didn't have a way to clear the board. And then you're like, all right, Yogg, you're going to be my panic button. You're going to be my death wing, but a little bit better sometimes. So I think that the fact that it's niched into Mage specifically takes down the amount that it would be played. I think that if this was a neutral card, this would be sick because Druid would play it. I think Druid would see a lot of play with it.
Yeah, this is just a... Sometimes you play it off of randomly discovered effects and it wins you the game and it makes your opponent want to break their computer monitor. Mm. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Speaking of things...
Until you've gone through the third monitor.
I can't afford that.
Yeah.
I just tape them up.
Speaking of things that Danny's excited for, we have the Jar Dealer, which is the one mana, one attack, one health, death rattle of add a random one cost minion to your hand.
Why am I excited about this card?
Because I just figured you were excited about jars.
You know, you can put things in jars, and I like putting things in jars.
Right. So I figured this was your card.
Obviously.
Yes.
Is that? Okay.
I don't get it, but okay. The joke may have gone over my head.
There is no joke. I just wanted to say something dumb.
Okay. Cool.
All right. I feel you.
I get it.
Yeah.
But you know what? There is something to be excited about here, and that is the next card, which is actually good.
You don't want to talk about Jar Dealer at all? And not I it's don't. Awesome.
I'm gonna quote Ray here. There's one word that really fits this situation. Dust.
It's a jar full of dust. Exactly.
Jar full of dust.
But you know what's not a jar full of dust? The next card,
which is Evil Totem. I beat you to it.
All right, do you want to say what it is or do you
No, I've just said every other card so you can do this one.
Okay. Well, Evil Totem is a 2-mana 0/2 totem that says at the end of your turn add a lackey to your hand. Yo, this card's lit. Yeah, it's like a mana tide totem but for 2 mana that always gets you a lackey. That's pretty cool. I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited for this card.
I think this is going to be a good card. The question that I have is, are they going to release another lackey? Because there's currently 4 lackeys, right? So they're five villains, and they said they might add lackeys throughout the year. So I'd be interested to see if there's another lackey that comes out with the Evil Totem.
Who knows? But this is, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that this is really good in Shaman too, because this is a must kill, right? If your opponent gets one totem, like... Then they just played, then they just played whatever Cable Rat or whatever. And Cable Rat's not that good of a card. You're not playing it in Shaman. But the Evil Totem, if you get 2 lackeys off of it, it's like broken already.
Yeah, man, this card is going to be lit. I'm excited for it. I want like some type of cool Druid or cool Shaman deck to be a thing. So I always liked cool Shaman decks, but they have... We've been lacking in cool Shaman decks. I don't think Murloc Shaman's cool. Murloc Shaman is just like you hit your face on the keyboard, you start rolling around, and you click you click your curve, and sometimes you get there. Not that exciting, but
it sounds like Saturday Totem night
Shaman,
to me.
Totem Shaman, that's my jam. And
oh, you did the Thunderbluff like, Valley, and you're good to go.
Jelly and bananas and what was I saying again?
Totems.
You're talking about food.
Totems, baby. Totems. Wait, why was I talking about food?
Oh, no, you're talking about, like, jelly and jam and all that good stuff.
Weird. Okay, well.
I don't know. You started having fantasies about Evil Totem, and you went to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So.
Do I like peanut butter and jelly?
A logical conclusion. That's an easy jump to make, right?
Yeah. Do you not like peanut butter and jelly, JR?
No, I love
Are you a monster?
I love peanut butter and jelly. I could eat peanut butter and jelly every day if I could.
That would be kind of gross.
And yes, actually, no, it wouldn't, because I think it'd be awesome.
Either way, Evil Totem, it is the jelly, it is the jam, it is the nuts.
See? Talking about jamming.
There you go.
Jam and nuts, peanut butter and jelly. Told you.
Yes. It is the burrito.
It's the burrito.
Is the golden burrito. But yeah, so let's see, pre-orders are now open. There's one for 50 packs and one for 80, and like the past pre-orders that they have done lately, you can buy both. So get your 130 packs. The 80 pack one, comes with the, druid hero, Elise. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. Out of everything that they have shown today, what do you guys think?
I think that this set is just very full of a lot of exciting things. Like, this has both League of Explorers, it has villains. Like, thematically, there's a lot going for this set. This is the set that, this is going to be a good set thematically no matter what. So I think that if they go through and they make a bunch of good cards and, like, interactive cards and everything, this could probably go down as the best set that has come out, just because they're coming off of the baseline of this set's theme is awesome.
Yeah.
So this set is going to be pretty awesome.
This set is going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the first set that I'm actually, like, super duper excited for because of the potential. Like, I'm super excited to see what the new League of Explorers cards are. That's something that has me, like, normally I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All these new cards are going to come out. There's going to be some stuff that wows me. Like, I'm looking forward to specific card reveals now. I normally don't look forward to specific card reveals.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me with this set is I loved League of Explorers. Like, that was such, like, the set was pretty cool. It was a smaller set, but it was like the first set where they had, like, real iconic characters that they made up in their own Hearthstone lore. And the fact that they're bringing them back into this storyline that they started developing this year, and that they're fighting against these other characters that they kind of made up in Hearthstone lore, I think it's really cool. Like, I love it. And I'm actually really excited to see what they do with the single player content for the set. Like, I know it's a continuation of what they've done already, but the theme of these characters, like, Reno Jackson and Sir Finley Mergleton are by far, like, my favorite two characters that they came up with. And I'm super excited to see what they do with them.
Yeah, there's just so much character with those two. Like, legitimately, when they did the reveal video, they went through and they said that the League of Explorers are here to save the day, and then they had an asterisk at the bottom: Reno is only here for the loot.
Right.
I thought that was really funny. That gave me a chuckle.
Give me the loot.
Yep.
Dude, Reno's, he's just here to,
he's just here for the everything. Treasure. Just here for the treasure. And like I said on the pre-show, my favorite thing in that whole trailer was him riding the two camels, does the splits, and, like, shakes the world or whatever. And then he fluxes, and, like, all the big giant worms behind him, like, blow up. And I'm just like, yes.
Powerful, man.
Yes, that is Reno Jackson.
But only when you put one copy of each card in your deck, right? He doesn't do that if you have duplicates.
that is true.
As much as I love, like, the flavor of Reno Jackson, I still really, really hate his card.
What?
Still have flashbacks of how I hated playing against that card.
I think it's matured into an interesting spot now, though, because just due to the nature of Wild, you have so many duplicates of functional duplicates, where, like, you'll have Defile, you'll have Demon Wrath, you'll have a bunch of cards that do functionally the same thing. So you can, the issue that you had a lot of time with Reno was that the best way to play around cards in a Reno deck was to not play around them. But at this point, like, you have Rotten Apple Bomb, you have Sludge Belcher, you have a lot of the cards that are almost identically the same, but they're not exactly. So it's like playing around Reno decks have gotten easier because people are trying to make them more consistent. And I mean, you'll have the random tech card here and there, but, like, you'll be able to play around them a little. It's a little bit more easy to manage that.
Right.
I mean,
maybe it might be just because of the limited card pool. It's hard to do that. So, I mean, I would be surprised if they released a Reno that had a no duplicates thing in this. And I think that a lot of people are going to be upset if they do, but I think that's ultimately where Blizzard's probably going to go with it. I think they're going to recognize that the build around is going to be an issue, but I'm hoping that there's a duplicate thing so I can put double Reno into my Reno Mage deck.
Yeah.
Dude, I just want to play Reno again, man. That's good old nostalgia. Like JR said, dude, they're feeding off of it. It's like whenever they remake like an old movie. Like, what's an old movie? They do it a lot now, but like when,
like, Star Toy Story. Wars
or Toy Story. Yeah, Toy Story is a perfect example.
Men in Black, Lion King, Aladdin. Those are just the movies literally. This year.
And, like, everything. I forgot, dude. This year's been... I don't know. I didn't see Men in Black. I didn't get around to it. I heard it was like meh.
I haven't seen any of them yet. I'll probably go watch Toy Story this weekend. I'm kind of excited about that. I've heard that one's actually really good.
But... Dude, Toy Story's lit, man.
Yeah. No, I love Toy Story.
Is this the episode where they find Andy's mom's toys?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
On that note, it's time to probably get out of here. Ran out of time to read Craig's email.
Oh, poor Craig, man. Craig's been getting shafted every week.
I know.
Like, straight up.
We're going to be like Jimmy Kimmel with Matt Damon.
Yep. Yep.
Is that what we're going for?
That's absolutely what I'm going for now. That's the plan. I'm never going
to
read.
Sorry to Craig, we're out of time.
I'm never going to read Craig's email.
I feel bad for Craig. Craig's a good guy.
Craig is a good
guy. We probably
won't
have much to talk about next week, so...
So we'll probably just skip it again.
You know what? You know what? I'm gonna read Craig's email. Oh jeez.
Okay.
I have to turn that off first. I turned it up.
Oh, I thought you were gonna put the volume really up and then say, "All right, I just read the email."
No, I'm gonna read Craig's email because he deserves it. And
he does.
So he did say, "Feel free to chop this up if you decide to talk about any of it." Because he did write a really long email, and there's like three sections of it here. So the first section, he says, I wrote on Twitter that I really enjoyed listening to Kevin again. Thinking about it more, I think he brings a little more of the voice of the everyman that I can associate with. The episode 200 card reviews were really what sparked this for me. Kevin was talking about how a card could be used while Ray is trying to shut the same card down as useless, as Ray does, right?
That sounds like a Ray thing to do.
Sounds like a Ray thing to do. Kevin then quickly pointed out that while Ray may not see it at Legend, that it'll probably see play in levels 20 to 10, which is where I find myself most of the months.
Yeah, I don't play at those ranks.
Right. And then he took a shot at me. You, JR, are also more like myself, competitive but busy. That's what we'll call it, competitive but busy. But I also thought that Kevin brought a little more forcefulness to his opinions than you tend to have. So. That's the first part of the email. I agree. Kevin is like really good at that kind of stuff, and I do miss his opinions and the way that he's able to, you know, kind of force those opinions a little bit more. He does a really good job of articulating on that stuff, and he does a good job of shutting Ray down. So
what? Were we watching the same? Like, were we even on the same podcast that week?
Yeah.
Dude, I never got shut down.
No, we need to do a PvP, you and Kevin, sometime.
You guys just stop me from like having a rebuttal. I was ready to go, man. I was fucked, dude.
It was politeness. That was Ray being polite to the guy who comes on the podcast once in a couple months.
Right. Once in a couple years.
That's more like it.
Yeah.
It's true.
They said, just to gush on Kevin some more, I also enjoyed his and Robert's perspectives on the greater picture, why we don't see some of the features that people have clamored for years, because the tournament-going folks are not the prime mover of Hearthstone, even though they may be the loudest. I think the other interesting thing from Kevin and Robert's perspective is the fact that they worked for Blizzard, and at least in Robert's case, worked closely with the Hearthstone team. Kevin, a little bit less so. But I think they bring that perspective that we don't get to see every day. So that's my thoughts. So, and the last part of his emails was, I also wanted to add an opinion on some of the negative opinions, of the new four play single player stuff. You guys are totally correct in that the new stuff isn't worth $20. However, $20 is about what I want to spend on Hearthstone when an expansion comes out. So when they only do the $50 to $80 bundles, like we just saw today, I don't spend any money. But when they put out a bundle for $20 and bring the pack price down a bit or add something to sweeten the deal, I'm totally happy. In this case, 16 packs for $20 is a good price point for me. And if Blizzard feels they need to add the single player stuff to entice me into buying more, I'm good with that. Thanks for continuing the podcast. You guys are my priority. Listen every week. Craig. I have now read Craig's email.
Oh, wow. He listens every week. I'm glad we read his email. He deserved that.
Yeah.
Good job, Craig.
Good job. Yeah. No, I wonder if he went ahead and bought the Wild bundle that came out, because that was actually a really good deal, too. Like, even if you had the cards, $35 was totally worth the dust that you'd get.
Especially if you had the cards.
Right.
every Wild player I know bought that.
Yeah.
I just buy everything because I'm a slave. Blizzard.
Well, so, I mean, part of me buying that too was supporting it, right? Where it's like, I might not have necessarily needed that dust. It's going to help out later on. I'm not going to have to buy as many of this next upcoming expansion. But ultimately, I'm supporting Wild by doing that. And they'll go through, oh my God, so many X people bought the Wild pack. So then maybe they'll consider adding a little bit more support. And then slowly over time, Wild becomes recognized. Yeah. Or at least that's what it is in my dreams.
I just have no free will anymore. I have to buy everything.
Well, I have a bridge to sell you.
You have a bridge? How much? How much are we talking?
How much?
A couple of Hearthstone packs. More than a couple Hearthstone packs.
Dude, I actually went and cleaned out a bar that my friend inherited from his dad dying. It was actually pretty lit. We destroyed like $2,000 worth of alcohol, just chucked it at a wall.
Oh, geez.
It was in a dumpster. Like, the dumpster was huge. So it was like the wall of a dumpster. It was really fun. Because you had to get rid of everything. And we just got rid of everything. It was great. All the plates, all the glasses. It was a good time.
All right. So anyway, if you would like to email us, we promised to get to it a little bit sooner than we did with Craig's. You can do so at wellmet@blisspro.com. Or you can tweet us at wellmetpodcast. And we love getting your questions. We will try to get to them on every show that we can. Just the last few were kind of broken a little bit. Beyond that, over on Patreon, if you want to be a patron and join over there, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast, if you'd like to help support us. To all the patrons that helped support us this month, everybody that did $5 or more got that new Wellmet sticker, and we'll be sending those out. And thanks to all the patrons that signed up this last month for that special offer. It was actually like very successful, which made me happy, very happy. And I hope that you guys enjoy the stickers. I hope to do more of these little special offers here soon. In fact, tonight I'll be announcing who wins the hour coaching session as well. I need to draw that and get that out there. iTunes, if you want to review the show and you're not able to support us at all financially, best way to do that is by word of mouth. One of the ways to do that is through iTunes reviews. Just head over to iTunes, do a search for Hearthstone. You'll find Wellmet Podcast there. Leave a 5-star review and we'll read it on the next show. And just a reminder, guys, like, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Google Podcasts. You can find us by just going to hearthstone.blisspro.com. and putting in our RSS feed to any podcast app that you want. So, anyway, shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to Craig for waiting so long. Because, I mean, we didn't mean to do you dirty like that, buddy, but, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
I remember 1 week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, where I started reading his email and then my computer crashed and we're just like, okay, I'm done.
Maybe next week.
Yep. And then
eventually.
Then my computer crashed again and we just didn't do a show. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, next week will come at some point, even though it might not ever come.
Hopefully so, this show doesn't crash today.
No, we're good. We're good.
I think we're good.
Yep. I have faith. It's not going to crash unless it crashes. Then it'll crash. So hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah. Where can people find you at?
Twitter at PG_Racy, or on Twitch at twitch.tv/Racy591. I've been playing a bit of Hearthstone, but honestly, I've been playing much more TFT, which is the League of Legends game. I've been really having a blast with that one, so I don't know. I have to figure out some type of like schedule, because I feel like now when I'm streaming, a lot of people like want me to play Hearthstone, and I'm just like, but I don't want to play Hearthstone right now. It's like, when I'm more awake, I'll play TFT, and then like at night when I'm like relaxing, that's when I play Hearthstone.
Yeah,
those are Hearthstone hours, like when my brain is just off and chilling. Not saying that Hearthstone takes no brain power. I'm just saying it's more relaxing to play Hearthstone.
Sure. So, Danny, how about you?
So this week I got a little bit of a repeat. I would like to give my shout out again to the Battlefy PR team, because they're screwing up again.
I forgot. I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about this too. I forgot about it. They're awful.
They're continuing to screw things up. But shout outs to them for making my Twitter viewing experience very entertaining. Funny. So that's about it for me. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at DannyDonuts_HS.
Yeah, if you ever want to learn how to not do PR, just follow Battlefy. I mean, they are just bad at their jobs. Just flat out. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing. But
I hope that I don't know. I have no comment anymore. It just makes my brain hurt. And I don't need my brain to hurt any more than it already does on a daily basis.
As for me, I definitely want to give a shout out to all of our new patrons this last month, and all of the patrons that also upped their patronage as well. Like, a lot of them went from the $1 tier to the $5 tier so they can get the sticker. And I'm super excited to see, like, when you guys get those stickers, like, I'm super excited to see, like, photos of them, like what you put them on and things like that. And hoping that here pretty soon we can get some more of the stuff that we can do. I do have t-shirts that will probably go on sale at some point in the near future. And doing some stuff like that. And if you want to find me, I am over on Twitter at Eldorian. And for any developers that are coming to the Kansas City area, I will be at KCDC at the Kansas City Developers Conference. I think that's next week. Yeah, that's the week after the 4th. So hopefully I'll be able to catch up with some of you there. I already know some of our listeners will be there because you've already talked to me about it. So pretty excited for that.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us for episode 204 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmetblizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.